Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club. We will be starting in just a moment. We're having some issues with Blog Talk right now, so just give us a minute, and we'll be right back in just a second.
Welcome to the African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club. It's Charles Williams, your moderator, and I have my wife, Jolivet.
Hello.
On the wheels of steel.
The wheels of steel that are broken.
Right. Everything because she chose my Funkadelic.
No, that's not true. That is.
That's what happened.
Oh.
You tried to deviate from the program, and you know what?
Are you going to just go there, really? You think...
You can't play no other music on this show. Nothing else works.
I'm not going to argue with you on the air live. I'm just going to say that is...
Preposterous.
Roll whack.
That's what you must do. That's the energy...
So whack that you want me to just only use that.
Oh, yeah.
But whatever.
You won't do this. You're going to try this one more time, then you will learn the ways. And you're going to figure out.
Okay. Let me see. Let me just go and open up with something. Here you go. Hold on, Charles.
I like it. I'm just playing with you.
And then you just go put me out there like that. Oh my God. Okay. Well, here's something you can just.
No, I like the other one too. I'm just playing with you, okay?
Hey, all right. You can read over that. There you go.
Let's just read it for DMA. Come in. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Oh my God. Whatever. Come on.
Okay. Tonight. We'll finally get into the main body of the text of Neely Fuller's United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept, a textbook workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of racism and white supremacy. This is our first week, and each week we'll do one station, so we should finish the whole book, the rest of the remainder of the book, in approximately 8 to 15 weeks. That's a long time. That's funny. It's like either half or double the time.
Mm-hmm. It's either going to be really, really quick or really slow. One or the other. I don't know.
Right.
Take your pick.
Oh, this is funny. See, all the people would catch that. That's why they explain how funny it is because I can... Okay, we're opening on page 58. because I know all of the listeners, you've bought this book by now.
Uh-huh.
I'm certain you've gone to your local African bookstore and you've written Mr. Fuller and you've ordered a copy and his supplement word guide, because you all are, this audience is one that is really on the vanguard to learning about racism and white supremacy and understanding the inner workings of it and the outer as well. So today's session is economics, and I'm going to read his disclaimer as we begin.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. The following pages present suggestions that pertain to what a victim of racism should or should not choose to do in the first major area of people activity, economics. Each person should choose to speak and act according to one or more of the suggestions presented, but only if he or she decides to do so. No person should speak and or act according to any suggestion presented herein unless he has judged that the suggestion chosen is of current and correct value in helping to eliminate racism and in helping to better promote justice. It is important to know and understand that one or more suggestions selected from the one major area of activity should be used in constructive combination with one or more suggestions selected from other major areas of activity. If any individual chooses to utilize any suggestions presented herein, he or she should do so in a manner and at a specific time and specific place that will produce the most constructive results in the revelation of truth and or production of justice or correctness. As long as racism exists, use all of your time, energy in doing so, no more than the following, and or do not willfully make or maintain contact with other persons except for these purposes. Number one, producing, building, repairing, improving, and or cleaning those things that have constructive value and using those things for constructive purposes only. Number two, studying, writing, asking questions, and or exchanging views with others about all aspects of how to eliminate racism and on how to produce justice in all areas of activity, including the eight that we all know by now. Number three, eating and sleeping correctly and only as necessary. And number four, engaging in sexual intercourse no more than two times every 7 days and using a minimum amount of time and resources in association with such engagement. So, say, keep your mind off the coitus, the Congress, especially the Au Paristica. Remember that? Congress of the. I'm not going to say it today. Okay, his reasons for these four suggestions are detailed here on page 59. If each victim of racism would limit all of his or her activities to no more than the aforementioned, most of his or her problems will be greatly minimized in a very short period of time. That is very true. And I'm at this break here for commentary. What Mr. Fuller is saying here, basically, if y'all will focus more on your problem of racism and how to solve it, then you won't have to. There won't be much racism left for you to have to tolerate. Right. Second paragraph in his explanation. Victims of racism who are serious about eliminating racism and who are serious about producing justice cannot afford to engage in any activities other than the aforementioned. In other words, you ain't got nothing else better to do. You think you got something else better to do, but you don't. Racism is the only thing you need to be concerned with if you want to live a full, productive life and you want your children to have the same. And if you got some sense in your head, he's saying basically, you know, you would, you know, focus your energies on this subject. The voluntary and constructive use of time and energy by substantial numbers of the victims of racism would have a very damaging effect on the continued practice of racism. Racism could continue a great could continue to exist for a while, but only with great difficulty. A great improvement in the promotion of justice would be immediately evident. At the same time, each victim of racism would quickly develop into a stronger and greatly improved person. I might just want to stop right there.
Okay.
Nah, I mean, it's another lot more here, but, you know, he's saying what we've been saying all the time with Dr. Wills. Amos Wilson says, you know, change who you are so the racist can't be who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you got to improve who you are, improve the way you behave and relate to your fellow man and woman. Cause, and that's what we talk about in the Woman Song Community Experience here on blogtalkradio.com is one thing that you talk about, that the black woman has to relate to herself to solve her problems and not be obsessed with the man and all the problems without. If she resolves the problems within, then all the things, the forces that come to the black woman from without have little to no effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We reduce the potency of malevolent influences. And that's what Nita Fuller's saying the same thing. Dr. Wilson, everybody's saying this. But no, very few people actually want to do this.
Right. Brother Amin is on the line.
All right. What's going on, Brother Amin?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
Right. So, you know, we got to put it, we got to, you know, we got to focus on self and the improvement of, you know, your thought pattern. Dr. Wilson talked about it in her book as well, The Isis Papers. Everybody should pick it up and read it carefully, preferably more than once. Each chapter, should reread the chapter, not just read the book the whole two at a time, then go and reread it again. Read the chapter and study it like, you know, like you're finna make some money off reading it. Because actually you will. Because you'll become a richer person and maybe put money in your pocket. All right. He said, victims of racism would no longer, with relative ease, be sidetracked into or burdened with activities which, at best, are useless rituals and are destructive fads. By using their time and energy in accordance with aforementioned four suggestions, victims of racism would eliminate doing these non-constructive and mostly non-satisfying things that are usually the product of indoctrination and or long-standing habit. I mean, these people, I mean, our people, I have a problem. I'm distancing myself from the community, the greater community. I have a problem with that. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's true. I think all of you on the line will agree that our people are just so obsessed with not fighting combating racism. And I think, it's my personal opinion, that we're obsessed with appearing to combat racism. We don't actually want to combat racism. We want to look like we are.
Mm-hmm.
At every time. Not doing the things that are actually hurt racist ability to practice racism. So.
Right. I'm going to have to say I'm not sure if we want to appear that we're combating anything. I don't know if what we're actually seeing is just a mass hypnosis or fear on a mass level, I think. And so we act out to impress each other, but never really to hurt or, you know, to make any significant difference, you know, before our oppressor.
Yeah.
Or I guess any real forward movement to replace this white supremacist system with a system of justice. I guess would be more appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, they both are appropriate. Right. Yeah. They don't really want to do that. I think they're afraid, which I understand if you're afraid of the response, the rebuttal of white supremacy. Nobody said you had to make your opposition overt.
Correct.
And I think our people don't understand anything about coercion and subversion.
Yeah.
They think everything got to be done on top of the table.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody to see.
Right.
We so gaudy and ostentatious and show offy. Black people love showing off. And they don't want to do nothing if they can't brag about it. If they can't boast, they see it as no value.
Right.
Didn't we just see that this week?
The
Black Panthers, they announced we're going to get Zimmerman, you know, for the murder of Trayvon Martin. And on CNN, you announced it. On CNN News. And once you announced it on CNN News, that means you were not going to do it.
Exactly.
But it was impressive. If you look
it
around,
was impressive
Facebook,
to black
it was,
people.
It was impressive to other black people. You know, that you announced this. See, these are real brothers. That's how you roll. That's not how you roll. If you wanted to go get them, you would have went and got them.
And wouldn't be talking about getting him.
Yeah. And the guy who announced it got arrested.
Yeah. And why do you want to turn him in to the people who are encouraging his behavior? You know, it blows my mind. Like, I feel like a strange way that's going through my right eye. It's not pain. It's just the presence of warmth. It's like,
calm down.
I'm thinking, I know we're collectively retarded, but it's like I keep wondering, how retarded are we really? You know, because I'm like, come on, man, y'all don't get that really. Oh, they tricked you with that too. Oh man, that's still working.
Yeah, he said for the rest of the guy. Once you arrest him, who are you turning him into?
What are you into? You can't even tell nobody the enemy that you even caught one of them. Basically, you're gonna tell your enemy, hey man, you know, y'all know we've been kicking our ass for the last 1,000 years, and what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna go catch one of your guys and I'm gonna keep him over here in my house. Y'all know where I live because I'm living in your prison.
That's where he is now too, prison.
Right. I'm saying that living in America or any place where Negroes have been captured and taken by white folks, you in jail.
Hell yeah.
You in jail. That's just like an inmate, for a way for people on who don't live in a penitentiary to see. That's like capturing a guard and holding them in a cell. Telling the warden or any other prison official, I got Officer Juneberry for what he's done to us. They're not going to let you keep Juneberry, okay? It's not going to happen. You're just going to have to slip him some poison or something. You're going to get him, make it like an accident. You cannot capture June Barry and tell people that you have caught him or you're going to get him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, that's, I mean, I think those people who, like you said, those people, I don't believe they're legitimate or real.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who believe them are the ones I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
The people who with whom they find an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just, you know, that they worried me. But here we go. So here's some more explanations in this area. He says, by using the time and, I think I finished that. Okay. Their overall functions as constructively progressive persons would be greatly simplified. That is, people fighting white supremacy, but non-whites or victims of racism. He said, thought, speech, and action would be much healthier and characterized by less confusion, frustration, and clutter. The maintenance and refinement of racism depends greatly on the ability of the racist to keep their victims constantly engaged in a variety of activities that are wasteful of time and energy and or that are otherwise directly supportive of the continuation of white supremacy. Therefore, each victim of racism should use all of his or her time and energy in a manner that results in the least amount of time wasted in frustration, while at the same time greatly improving his or her ability to counteract racism in all areas of activity. Victims of racism should at all times be engaged in one or more of the aforementioned four interrelated uses of time and or energy. As long as racism exists, no victims of racism should at any time be engaged in any other uses of time and energy. Important note, yes. At no time should any person seek the company of, make deliberate contact with, or voluntarily remain in the presence of other persons except for the purpose of speaking, acting in support of the suggested four-point economic format. So, that's what we got to do. I mean, interesting how, I wanted to, I think, highlight how we enjoy this waste of time. And I see it happen again and again. We talked about it when we covered the ISIS papers, how the thought processes need to be changed to where we learn how to think in a manner to eliminate racism, and we still don't know. I mean, I understand that the most of us haven't read their book or any other book that'll help with the resolving this issue. But it's like we come on this program, we talk about it in other forums that we moderate, and the people still aren't getting that message. I think they believe that we're talking because we just like hearing ourselves speak.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's going to come a time when we disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not here telling them anymore. And then they're going to be wondering where we are. And I don't know where we'll be. You know, hopefully somebody else will figure it out and keep telling them. He said the next section on the, he said, avoid excess. Avoid acquiring things that you must serve more than they serve you. Avoid being possessed by the things in your possession. Don't worship the toys that you and others possess. Reason and for when a person spends too much time and energy arranging, cleaning, counting, repairing, and or protecting his or her material possessions, that he or she will have too little time and energy for anything else. Too little time will be used to think, speak, and or act to produce justice. Too little time and energy will be used in thinking, speaking, or acting to eliminate racism. All material possessions should be used to eliminate racism and or produce justice. All time and energy should be also be used for the purpose of for those purposes. In a known universe dominated by racism and other injustices, no time, energy, or other material possession should be wasted on any other purpose. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do not buy anything with the intention of using it for show-off-ism. Show-offish purposes. Reason? Showing off serves no constructive purpose for people who are subject to racism. The people who would be impressed do not count, and the people who count would not be impressed. With all that you have, you, as a victim of racism, do not have as much as you should have had long before you had it. With all that you have, you still do not have justice, which is the basic thing that must be had in order to have value in all that you have. Translation to all of the... I don't want to use anything derogatory here because I'm working on that.
You talking about 2 hours, spending 2 hours washing your car?
Yeah. 2 hours... a week negotiating with the dealer at the Hummer dealership to get that Hummer because, ooh, I'm going to get so many women at the club when I pull up in this.
Oh, yeah, the three-hour prep time before you go to the club.
Oh, yeah, three-hour prep time, all the drinks you got to buy. I got to go, you know, get these clothes at the cleaners and press. I got to sit and wait 7 hours in the barbershop. Beauty shop, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're not going to get together at the club and talk about racism.
No.
Not that if you did, you would need that Hummer and all that time and barbershop and jewelry you have to purchase and whatnot. But we think that all of these material possessions that actually possess us are more valuable than actually having justice. And then when some, you know, injustice happens to it every day, and then just every blue moon, a special case comes along, and everybody just gets so moved about this injustice that's been happening every day, you know. And then they go back to worshiping their material possessions again. It's an endless cycle. He says, avoid the production of offspring until you know and understand that white supremacy is and how it works in all areas of activity, including the eight areas. He said, avoid the production of offspring until you have the will and ability to adequately feed, clothe, and house them. Avoid the production of offspring until you have the will and ability to explain to them in a manner that they will understand what white supremacy is and how it works in all areas of activity. So unlike Dr. Welsing, I believe you shouldn't have, you know, produce offspring to 30. He's saying until you know, they're able to articulate racism, but apparently our people, you know, ain't really worried about racism. So it's a known issue. They're waiting for that Rex 84 plan to kick in. They like that one better.
Mm-hmm.
Do not, under any circumstances, engage in sexual intercourse and or sexual play for the purpose of gaining financial, monetary, or material support, either for self or others. Or others, including offspring. Now, wait a minute. You can't sell sex? What?
He's way out of line.
Way. What you think they call this moneymaker for? The world's oldest profession. Wow, this is incredible. The reason, as long as white supremacy exists, there are two and only two correct reasons for sexual intercourse and sexual play between persons, and they are as follows. To help provide comfort for, incentive to, and promote constructive communication between those victims of racism who repeatedly strive to speak and or act to resist or eliminate racism. And the following one is to produce offspring. That is good. That's good, man. He's such a good guy. Avoid borrowing anything from anybody at any time. If you must borrow, try to borrow from white people rather than non-white people. Ain't that right? Avoid lending to a non-white person more money than you can afford to give him or her. Reason, in a socio-material system dominated by the white supremacists, white people have the greatest producers, are the greatest producers of money. White people are the masters of money. He's right here on top of that. They are the only people who have enough money to lend. Can anybody hear that? Well, I guess if you're talking about large sums, what do y'all think about that?
Well, I don't know. He's saying that you should not borrow from non-whites?
That's what he's saying.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Because I got...
But you should not borrow from whites.
Yeah.
You know,
I ain't really feeling that one.
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
No, I don't even know about this. I don't know. Because when you borrow from an enemy...
You become a slave.
That's right. The slave, the lender, the borrower is slave to the lender.
Always.
And while I may understand what he's saying, well, you are already a slave. That's a perspective. I think if he were here, he would probably say, well, what's the difference between the slavery that you have now and the slavery that you have by taking on a note? Well, my contention would be that my kinsman, I can make interest-free loans from him. I can't make interest-free loans from slave master. You know,
that's
so
what
he
I was
made.
Wondering what he means.
Which is, I'm sorry. He,
I said that's what I didn't understand. Is who is he talking about? Don't borrow from who?
Yeah, he was saying don't borrow from non-whites. Only borrow from whites since they have more money to lend.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't understand.
I mean. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You can get it. It's free. The same with I was agreeing with what you were saying as far as I can get something interest free from my own, but I become a slave borrowing from him.
Right. I mean, we know when people do it. You know, they buy cars or houses and borrow from the white because they have more capital. I mean, some of it. What he's saying, I'm not saying it's like is he just like so wrong, you know. But I probably would, you know, modify it to say borrow from non-white people as little as possible. You know, don't look forward to it. You know. You know, be very careful. You probably like if you can get around it, do it. But if you can't, then we understand something like that. Or try to create, you know, eliminate the need or the practicality of borrowing from, you know, from white people. I mean, the racist rather. So yeah, I wouldn't say it's so rigid, but you know. That's how he does it. He says white people can better afford to take chances and making loans. Many white people can afford to lose. When white people can afford to take losses on loans made to non-white people, whereas non-white people can at least afford to take losses on loans made to each other. I didn't know that they even take loss. I thought they just collect your collateral. Am I correct there, brother?
I'm still unclear. He's saying not to borrow from your own, but to borrow from them.
Yeah, because the justification here is he says many white people can't afford to take losses on loans made to non-whites, whereas non-white people can at least afford to take losses on loans made to each other. He's saying we can at least afford to take losses on loans made to each other. So now it's not like he's saying like we can make loans to each other. So that's not a clean pattern. That could be rewritten.
Yeah,
he revised
that.
I would probably send that back to him to say, hey, maybe read look at that. And
thank you, editor.
Yes, I'm an editor, am I? You should have consulted me before.
Apparently. Okay. You're on your last leg.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How many minutes we got? Six?
Five.
Oh, yeah, we can do this.
Well, let's hit it.
Okay. In a social material system dominated by white supremacists, all non-white people are in a weak economic condition. None of them can afford to borrow from or lend to the other. Also, because of white supremacy, black people are more likely to return what they borrow from white people than they borrow from one another. Under white supremacy, many people classified as black are extremely insecure. They tend not to return what they borrow unless they are forced to. Therefore, to minimize conflict, it is better to give to a non-white person what you can afford to give. He's right about that, Sean. Avoid lending. By doing so, not only will help to minimize conflict and animosity among non-white people, but you will also help to minimize dishonesty and the tendency to steal. Actually, I like that part. But my thing is, they reduce the tendency to steal. Yeah, they reduce. They don't necessarily eliminate it. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. As long as white supremacy exists, ask white people, including the white supremacists, to help you to provide material care for your offspring as well as for yourself. He's so right. High five. Can our people understand that?
No. Not at all.
Right, they already got you in the plantation. To make them give you as less that you can take with the minimum amount of effort to get to those needs, basically. They already got you captured. As long as white supremacy exists, all persons who are subject to the white supremacists are greatly limited to the quality and the quantity of all that is of constructive value, since it is the white supremacists who are functionally responsible for directly or indirectly providing constructive care for their victims. That's right. It is just and correct for all victims of white supremacy to seek care first from the white supremacist. They should next seek it from their creator and through themselves, in spite of and in opposition to the dictates of the white supremacist. I would kind of reverse that order. But anyway, at no time, however, should anything be obtained by robbing or stealing. We're about to wrap this up. He says, do not expect any white person who is a racist or expect any non-white person who is a victim of racism to do what needs to be done for any offspring that you produce.
Mm-hmm.
Reason? A white person who is a racist will not do what needs to be done for your offspring. A non-white person who is a victim of racism cannot do what needs to be done for your offspring. As long as white supremacy exists, no person or persons in known universe will do or can do what needs to be done for your offspring. So do not take a vacation. Don't wait for a vacation. Make a vacation or make one, and make one every day wherever you happen to be. Make one. Do something that will constructively stimulate and freshen your mind and body. He's saying sit quietly and think constructive thoughts. That we call that meditation. Write a plan for future constructive activity. Engage in some other constructive physical work of your choice. And he lists a bunch of other wonderful suggestions that you can read when you buy the book. And that concludes the area one on economics. Thank you all for listening to the African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club feature. Nearly Fuller Jr. is not an independent compensatory code, system concept, textbook, workbook, with thought, speech, and or actions for victims of racism, white supremacy. And I thank Wife Jonathan and Will of Steel and Brother Mean for coming and hang out with us and give us insights, and any other book club members who are doing whatever you're doing. Be sure to spread this one and, you know, come hang out with us on air. Y'all have a good night. Have a good week. Peace, shalom.
Peace.
What you say? Boom. On. Get your groove on. Get you. Best believe you really gon' get you. Blown. Ha ha.